everyone. This is Molly Douthat.
And David Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to incorporate multiple intelligences into sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for the second Sunday of Easter, Year C. Yeah, we've been away for a couple weeks because we figured you had plenty of other resources and traditions to get you through Holy Week. Plus, Holy Week! But we're back without a doubt to bring you more multiple intelligence illustrations and special effects. So, let's get to it.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's theory and his work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. We hope your Easter celebrations were grand and glorious. This week might be a cannonball Sunday, though. You could fire a cannon in the sanctuary and not hit anybody. But we know that you still want to give the faithful a meaningful sermon, and multiple intelligence theory can help you to be creative even after the high holy days. Anytime and any way we can make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. So let's have at it. The first reading for the second week of Easter, Year C, is Acts 5, verses 27 to 32. First reading because we've got two New Testament readings this week. So this passage comes to us. It's the apostles appearing before the council in Jerusalem. It's the second time for some of them. Peter and John had been called before them before for teaching in Jesus' name and were instructed not to do that. They went ahead anyway, and all the other apostles as well. And so they got arrested, thrown in jail, and then an angel came and let them out and said, no, go back and teach in the temple. So they did. And so then the council got together and said, all right, bring out those guys who are in jail. And they went to look for them, and they weren't there. And somebody came and said, oh, they're in the temple teaching, which was exactly where they weren't supposed to be.
How did you get there?
So that's all background. Then we start into the passage. And so the council says, we told you not to do this, and here you are blaming us for this man's blood. And Peter and the apostles say, hey, we've got to follow God and not human authority. You killed Jesus. You had him killed. God made him leader and savior and set him at his right side so that Israel would repent. And what else are we going to do but go out and tell all that, because it's true. So we have an iSmart illustration. We have a funky little math special effect. We have some illustrations for PeopleSmart and SelfSmart special effects. So Molly, start us off.
Okay. Well, we're looking at, for the iSmart, we're looking at the phrase that where Peter says, God gave Jesus a place at God's right side. In our culture, the person most likely to be at our right side on any given time is usually the person in our passenger seat in our cars. So ask your congregation, who is that usually? Is it a spouse? Is it a coworker? Is it a fellow commuter? Sometimes the people who are most commonly at our right side are coworkers in our offices, people that we are in class with at school, that other person who has the same letter as your last name. Ron White, I'll always remember you. It could be someone in the boardroom. Just have your folks visualize, get that person in their mind as to who that right-hand person is. We're going to come back to this when we get to PeopleSmart and talk specifically about why, but have them think about that.
Okay. So for Math Smart, not sure how you would use this, but I got to thinking about the logic of that statement that the apostles make. We have to obey God, not people. And back in the day, I learned a few of the early popular programming languages like BASIC and Fortran, and never got much further than that. So anyway,
you can't fix anybody's phone.
I can't do C++, C++, or any of those. But I do know BASIC still, and so I wrote a tiny little program in BASIC to kind of explore what that relationship is. And there's an emulator online, and so what you can do is go to the show notes, copy the program that I've written, plug it into the emulator on the at the link that we'll provide, and you can run it. I don't know what you'll do with that, unless you can mirror it from your laptop to your projector in worship or something to show people. But
it'd be really fun if you could send it to everybody's phones.
Well, yeah, but
but I don't think there's an app for that. If you know somebody who can write one, write the app for it.
Yeah. So anyway, basically, it comes down to you decide who you're going to give authority to, God or people, and then it has a different response for each of those.
Mm-hmm. So coming back to the idea of Jesus being given a place at God's right hand, in antiquity, to be at the right hand, we're now in PeopleSmart, in antiquity, to be at the right hand of someone meant that you had that person's authority. You spoke with that person's authority. You acted with that person's authority. You were a right-hand man, so to speak.
Literally. I mean,
literally.
You would stand at the right hand or sit at the right hand.
Right. Right.
The right side.
And there are places in Scripture that talk about Jesus being at the right hand of God. We say that in our Apostles' Creed.
We do.
This is where we are with the PeopleSmart. For an special effect, have your congregation maybe break into smaller groups or just talk amongst themselves and however they would like to, and ask the question, have them answer this question: who has this kind of authority from God? Who is the right-hand man of God or right-hand person of God? And ask them, do they ever consider themselves to be in that position of authority? If they're good Presbyterians, they should say yes. And why or why not? I mean, it could be some people have gone their entire lives thinking, oh, I don't have that kind of authority. And they would be really surprised and maybe empowered a little bit.
I don't have that kind of authority.
That's above my pay grade. Well, no, it's not.
No.
And what kind of authority do they have? I was going to say, take a look at some of the things that Jesus empowered his disciples to do, the things that he told them they could do. The Great Commission. Love one another. Things like that. Also, in PeopleSmart, for an illustration, we're looking at the phrase, we don't obey people, we obey God. And obedience can really be a loaded topic in our culture. You can't tell me what to do is a pretty common phrase that you hear frequently.
You're not the boss of me.
Yeah, and in a variety of ways from a variety of people. And there is a sense that people who break the rules are frequently admired for that. And we have a current political brouhaha going in our country at this point in time of a particular person who's breaking a lot of the rules and getting a lot of attention for it. And is that healthy? Yeah, some people are like, yeah, it's really shaking things up and it's making people get noticed or making people take notice. And others are like, but you know, if we break this so bad, what are we going to have?
Yeah, and that's sort of the question that this all raises for us is, if you're going to break rules, what are the rules that are worth breaking? And how do you know if God is the one calling you to do that or if you're just being...
Being obstinate,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that would really be the self-smart questions, the special effect we have for self-smart.
Yeah, so for that self-smart, whether it's illustration or special effect, doesn't matter. It's a bunch of questions to lead you into this. Have you ever been in a situation where you had to decide whether to obey God or human authority, and how did that turn out? And are you satisfied with how you answered that dilemma? If you've never been in that situation, can you imagine a case that might get you there? And where is that line for you?
Mm-hmm.
So with culture being in uproar and whatnot all, absolutes sort of falling away left and right, where is that line?
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go on.
The second lesson for week two of Easter in the year C is Revelation 1, verses 4 through 8, the beginning of the revelation to John. John sends blessings and greetings and grace and peace at first in the passage, and then goes on to talk about Jesus and his authority and his glory, and that he is the ruler of the kings of all the earth, and he lets us rule as kings and serve as God's priests. And to him be glory and honor forever and ever. And he is coming with the clouds, and everyone will see him, and everyone will freak out. So we have all manner of stuff here for you. We have iSmart illustration, Math Smart special effect, Music special effect, Nature both, People both, and a Self-Smart special effect.
Okay, for the eye illustration, something that David particularly thought about when he was reading this passage was the movie Independence Day that came out in 1997, I think it was. They're actually doing another one.
Yep, coming out this summer.
Yeah. Anyway, so the scene in Independence Day, and we have a YouTube clip that you can go take a look at on the show notes, when the alien ships break through the atmosphere, and the breaking through the atmosphere kind of makes this roiling cloud sort of thing, and people all over the world see this happening. It's really kind of thrilling. You know something's happening. There is definitely something going on.
Everybody stops what they're doing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so maybe that might be what it might look like when Jesus returns in the clouds. Hopefully he's not going to wipe us out.
Hope so. Welcome to Earth.
Yeah, right.
For Math Smart, looking at the description of Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who was and is to come, and thinking about the infinity and eternity of that. And one of my favorite ways of getting my hands on infinity is with a Mobius strip. And this is, I think we've talked about Mobius strips in previous episodes, but if you take a long, thin strip of paper and you put a half twist in it and tape the ends together, then what you end up with is a long, continuous surface. A 3D object with a 2D surface, basically. So you can run your finger...
Or a pencil.
Or a pencil. You can run along the center line of that surface and come all the way back around to where you started, having covered both sides of the paper without turning it over.
Mm-hmm. And then you can start over again.
So you get...
And then do it again.
You get your...
And then do it
again. Okay. So...
Infinity.
Infinity, yeah.
Yes, thank you. So Music Smart, we have go to hymnary.org and plug in Revelation 1 and be amazed at how many of our traditional hymns come from both Psalm 150 and Revelation 1. Lots and lots and lots. Nature Smart, we have both illustration and special effect. Again, the idea he's coming with the clouds, and this is really a reference to Isaiah 19:1. 19:1, where a cloud is going to descend upon Egypt, and God is coming in that cloud to judge Egypt. And if you think about where other places clouds show up in Scripture, we were just talking about that. It's when the cloud is leading the Hebrews in the wilderness. The cloud moves, the people move, the cloud stops, they stop. The cloud descended on Sinai to give Moses the Ten Commandments. The cloud came into the tabernacle, into the holiest of holies, where Moses would go and be before God. The cloud was in the temple when Isaiah received his vision and commission to be a prophet. There's just an awful lot about that. And the cloud being a symbol of God's power and God's might. God was in the
glory.
The glory.
God's glory.
Yeah.
So the thing about that glory of God is that it left the temple when the city was destroyed by the Babylonians, but did not return when they rebuilt the temple. And so although Jesus going up to the temple on Palm Sunday was a reenactment of God returning to the temple, the glory still did not, that cloud did not return ever to the temple, as far as we know. Mm-hmm. And so here at the end of all things, John is bringing Jesus back with the clouds of glory. Mm-hmm. So finally, the presence of the Lord.
It's returning. Yeah. For special effect, Google cloud formations, and you will be just amazed at some of the things that are out there. Some are breathtaking in their majesty and kind of awe. Is almost bordering on terror, because some of those have a lot of energy and you see those coming and you think, uh-oh, basement time. Mm. Others are photoshopped. Ignore the one with the Easter bunny in it.
For people smart, looking at the line that says, he lets us rule as kings and serve God, his Father, as priests, as it says in the contemporary English version, or in the NLT, the New Living Translation, he has made us a kingdom of priests for God his Father. So kingship and priesthood are both somewhat foreign concepts to most American audiences. And here Christ is said to be the ruler of all kings, and that he allows us to serve as kings. And so you might think with your folks about kingship to start off with. What are the purposes of a king, and what goals, and what are the results of having a king, and what characteristics ought kings to demonstrate? Making wise decisions, we would hope, for the use of power and authority, or to be fair, to be just, to be wise, compassionate, strong, good, brave, all of those sorts of things. And then, how do you do at being that way? How do you do as being a king in Christ's realm? And similarly, then, for priests, what are the jobs that priests do? What's the job of a priest? To intercede between God and the people, and to carry people into God's presence, and to convey the presence of God to the people. And how are we doing at being priests for each other, for the church, for the world? So that might be your illustration. Give folks some opportunity maybe to chew on that a little bit, and if you want to let them converse about that, by all mm-hmm. means. And then for special effect, just to reinforce that, and I don't know, maybe there's a little body bit, but make some paper crowns, or acquire some paper crowns, or let your folks make a paper crown, or get them from a fast food restaurant that enjoys referring to itself in royal terms.
Which may or may not still be doing that.
Yeah, and honestly, let folks wear a little bit of a crown to remind themselves that they are royal. And might also do something similar with a printout of an ephod, the 12-jeweled breastplate of the priests.
The high priest.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, they can wear that around their necks, perhaps, for the service, to remind themselves to act as priests as well. Mm-hmm. And remember, of course, that Christ is ruler of both the priests and the kings.
The kings. Right.
And so we submit to the rule of Christ.
Right. And finally, for self-smart, we're looking at the phrase, all people on earth will weep. And I got to thinking, well, what kind of tears do you suppose people would be weeping at that point in time? Would it be fear? It could be. Would it be joy? Oh, yay, finally. Would it be sorrow? Oh, I wish so-and-so could be here to see this. Or is it just an autonomic response of the body? I mean, you're seeing something, whoa, and so it just, you know, kind of comes out of you as tears. So give your folks an opportunity to think about that. You know, if they were to see this happening and they were to weep tears, what tears would they be weeping?
Okay, let's go on.
The gospel lesson for year C, Easter 2, is from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. It begins with the disciples huddled in a room, being afraid of what might happen to them now that Jesus is gone, and suddenly Jesus appears in their midst. He greets them, he shows them his hands, he shows them his side, and he tells them he's sending them out just as the Father has sent him. And then he breathes on them and tells them to receive the Holy Spirit. This is essentially John's version of Pentecost. And then the passage continues on to the famous story of the conversation among Thomas and the other disciples about what they saw, and Thomas saying, oh, I'm not believing that till I see it myself, and Jesus coming back and saying, well, okay, here you go. So for this particular passage, we have eye smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. We have a special effect for eye smart, and what have you got there, dear?
Starting with the eye smart, and looking at the line, I am sending you. We have the disciples sitting behind locked doors and having been terrified and having all their plans destroyed here. And then Jesus shows up to send them out. And they're probably having a hard time with this idea. And
first of all, there's Jesus.
Well, yeah, there's that. So trying to imagine what Jesus is all about now and where he's sending them and why. So, you know, it's something that we might be able to relate to. So can you imagine where he wants to send you, where he wants to send your congregation? Can your folks imagine where Jesus is sending them? So let's try. So our special effect is to do a little visualization. Invite your congregation to close their eyes and visualize being in that closed room and being afraid of the people out there, which might not be a stretch.
No, not anymore.
And imagine Jesus appearing and with power in his resurrection form and sending them out to go out there and do stuff. Where would he be sending them? And what would he be sending them to do? And with whom? And why? Why?
Very dramatic.
Why?
So for Nature Smart, we have both an illustration and special effect. The illustration, we're looking at the phrase, he breathed on them. You can illustrate this by reminding people about how it feels to have a room refreshed by opening up a window or turning on a fan. It'd be a little stuffy, and you turn on something that circulates the air, and that feels so much better. You could also illustrate it by talking about how plants, particularly this time of year, rely on the wind to pollinate themselves. There are a lot of folks out there with runny noses and scratchy eyes because trees are doing that very thing. Also in the fall, the wind will knock the leaves off the trees, which then acts as mulch on the ground. So there's some nature illustrations of how the wind moves, how it can refresh, how it can take care of things, how it can participate in that cycle of life. C.S. Lewis once referred to Christianity as a good infection, and one of the best ways to get infected by somebody is to have them breathe on you. She's breathing on me!
Yeah, but it's okay. It's the Holy Spirit.
And in the Greek, the word for spirit or wind is pneuma, very much like the Hebrew word ruach is the same word for breath or spirit. So for a special effect, this is kind of also sort of a body special effect. Do some breathing exercises with your congregation. Before worship and every Sunday, David has his congregation put everything down and actually spend some time breathing. But for this particular special effect, really get into it. Spend some time with it. Encourage people to relax their bodies, to relax their minds, to let go of distractions or worries or thoughts, tension, expectations. If you have a yoga instructor or a fitness instructor, either in your congregation or that you know that would be willing to do this, have them spend a couple of minutes doing some deep breathing exercises so that they get a sense of what it's like to be filled.
And it might be a good lead in to that visualization experience that
exactly.
We were just talking about with the iSmart. For PeopleSmart, we're looking at the comparison of John's gospel here with the passage in Acts as far as the coming of the Holy Spirit. John does it in this rather understated way of Jesus appearing in a locked room, whereas Luke in Acts has fire and
blows the doors in.
Right. Special effects and big crowds, cast of thousands. And so very different telling of the story. So John's telling is kind of the alternate understated history here. So play with that idea a little bit for an illustration to compare and contrast and get people connected with that. Think about an alternate understated history of some big flashy events like the Super Bowl
50.
So,
go Broncos.
Yeah, you got the crowds and everything like that. And then Peyton Manning walks out with his team. They walk out at the beginning of the game. And Peyton says to his team, "Receive the Lombardi Trophy." And the game is over. And they go out and they leave. And that's
it. What would Beyonce do?
I don't know. She would be Beyonce. Or similarly with the Final Four or the championship game of the NCAA tournament that's been going on here. The coach of your favorite team walks out onto the court with his team, and as the game is getting ready to begin, he says, "Receive the trophy," and the game is over. And they all leave and go out to do their thing. So There it is. That's kind of the comparison that you might have between those two. Another illustration.
Well, a special effect that you could do.
Special effect, yeah.
That you could do with this idea of the contrast between the two Pentecost stories is have the folks break into groups and discuss the difference between the two of them. Which to the version of these stories has more appeal and why? And does the other version offer anything new or different to the story of Pentecost?
Yeah. Another illustration for People Smart is from Jill Duffield, one of our current favorites over at Presbyterian Outlook. And she talks about, she wrote a really nice article here on being out and the experience of being out and how Thomas must have felt being
the outside person.
While everyone else is talking about their in-joke and they know everything. And, remember when Jesus showed up and he breathed on us? Right. You don't, because you weren't there. Right. And so anyway, she does a better job at it than I just did. But we've got the link for
we'll
you.
We'll link it.
And then another special effect for people is switching gears a little bit and looking at the line about forgiveness, that kind of lost line that we miss a lot of times when we focus on Thomas. Jesus saying to the rest of the disciples, if you forgive anyone's sins, they'll be forgiven. And if you don't forgive their sins, they won't be forgiven. And so challenge your folks. Is there someone whom you need to forgive, someone whom you have not forgiven? And then think about the woundedness that goes along with that. Jesus appears to the disciples to show them his wounds, to prove that it is he who has returned from the grave and to give glory to God. Very often when we're not being forgiving, we will talk about that experience with people by showing our emotional wounds, and maybe physical wounds, but showing our wounds to somebody else, probably not to give glory to God or to give testimony to God's power, but to demonstrate our own hurt and need.
Mm-hmm.
So are there places in your life where you need to get beyond that and turn that page? And what about God's power could help you in healing those wounds? What could God do for your wounds so that you can get beyond that place and move on to forgiveness?
And for Self-Smart, finally, we have Thomas saying, I'm not going to believe this unless I see it. For an illustration, you can talk about times, or have your congregation think about times when they've refused to believe something until they've actually seen it. And why is that? Why is that so prevalent? Are there common threads for different occasions when this has happened? Was the news good news? Was it bad news? Was it important news? Was it trivial news? Was it a particular person or a set of people telling you that you didn't believe? And why didn't you believe them, that particular person? For a special effect, we have a book that we recommend called Seeing is Believing. It's by a man named Gregory Boyd, and it's called Seeing is Believing, Experience Jesus Through Imaginative Prayer. Hey, we were just talking about that.
Yeah, I wonder where we got that idea.
The book essentially is Boyd saying that believing that a way to true spiritual transformation and feeling the presence of God in a person's life comes from what he calls R&R, rest and reality. Just encouraging readers to just be, to rest in an experience of Jesus through imaginative prayer. And so there's some helpful tips and ways of doing that in this particular book. If you already have it, great, you can use that. If you want to get it real quick on Amazon, you can do that too. Or if you want to get it and use it as a book study, even better. So that's what we have for John chapter 20.
Well, that's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at facebook.com/morethanhearing, or tweet us at morethanhearing. Or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe got an idea that you like even better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We'd love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Be sure to look for the show notes, links, and resources on our website. We publish our worksheets on each text so you can see some of our ideas that haven't made it into the podcast. Maybe those could be helpful or spark your imagination. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS links at the bottom of the show notes. Or point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can also find us at the iTunes store. If you like the show, give us a good review, and it helps others find us more easily. We'll be back next week with another installment. So in the meantime,
stay subscribed
and be smart.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.